Originally, with the introduction of Protestantism in France in the 1520s, you did have a very strong religious tension between Catholics and Protestants. And as you went ahead in time, it became more and more political because there are more and more important lords and princes of the blood, for example, that were adopting the new religion. And with a strong king like Francis or his son Henry II, those political tensions, if you'd like, were fairly well contained. And there was a turning point in 1559 when Henry II was accidentally killed during a joust in Paris. And his sons were still very young, and it was a tradition in France for centuries, as soon as you had a young king, the aristocracy, the noblesse, would always reclaim a little more power, you see. And you had all of those political and religious tensions as well. So from 1560 onwards, up until the end of the 16th century, you had a series of civil wars in France, which were commonly referred to as the Wars of Religion. So you had the two, I'd say, tensions. And so it's important to keep in mind. You had a power struggle going on between the heads or the leaders of the Catholic and Protestant factions, who were trying to influence the king in order to share his power with him, because the idea, at least in the beginning, wasn't to replace the king. He was a divine monarch, so crowned by the church, and he had a very, he was a very important symbol, a sort of an intermediary between his subjects and heaven. So the idea wasn't initially to replace the king. And when Henry III became king, that's when things began to get a little more complicated, and especially in 1584, he lost his younger brother, the Duc d'Anjou. And he didn't have any brothers left, didn't have any children, so who becomes king?
Cousin.
The cousin. And who was the legitimate heir?
Duc de Guise.
No. The king, the Duc de Guise wasn't a prince of the blood. He was just a very powerful lord. The future Henry IV, the Henri de Navarre. Yeah. So the problem was that Henry of Navarre was still a Protestant at the time. And for a lot of Frenchmen, that was very difficult to imagine because of, well, traditions, if you'd like. And for the Catholic League and their leader, the Duke Henry of Guise, it was something that was completely unacceptable. And the Duke became more and more popular afterwards. In 1588, then several years later, during the springtime, that's when Paris openly sided with the Catholic League. There were a number of riots in the city of Day that's referred to as the Day of the Barricades. And Henry III had to flee the capital and found himself here in Blois a few months later. And his, he had to summon an assembly, the Estates General here. So they were summoned to Blois, but the king felt that too many members were leaning towards the Catholic League. So that's when he decided that the easiest and the quickest solution was simply to get rid of the Duke of Guise. Yeah? And after having prepared things, the Duke was summoned here to the chateau for a council meeting in this room on the 23rd of December in 1588. The king wasn't present. He was supposedly in his study on the opposite side of the fireplace, so in the corner of the wing. It was torn down later, so I can't show you where the study was. But in any case, he summoned the Duke for a private meeting in his study, and the Duke had to walk through the royal bedchamber, and that's where he was greeted by 8 of the king's private bodyguards, if you like. They're part of the 45 Gascons that protected Henry III, and the Duke was very familiar with them, so he didn't notice that each one had a dagger, because everything was well hid. He continued on, and when he arrived at the door, he suddenly turned around, and one of the guards must have panicked and thought he'd guessed what was happening, and that's when the assassination began. So the Duke was simply stabbed to death in the royal bedchamber. Afterwards, his brother, the Cardinal of Guise, was arrested here in the council room. The next morning, he was executed in the same manner. So the two important Catholic leaders weren't part of this world anymore, but in any case, there was one Guise brother left, and he decided to take over the head of the Catholic League. And that's when the king began to negotiate with his cousin, Henry of Navarre, and they were planning on attacking Paris. Simply 8 months later, that's when the king was assassinated himself by the monk Jacques Clément. And that's how his cousin became Henry IV. He converted to Catholicism afterwards, and that's when the wars of religion began to lose their vitality, and especially after 1598, when the king pronounced his famous Edict of Nantes. So that gives you a small slice of French history. But to come back to the consequences, without defending the king or his act, it's obvious that if the Catholic League had come into power with the Duke of Guise, we would have had a very different version of history afterwards.